Quiet, please. Play.
William Hill brings you expert previews and live in-play betting analysis every day of Wimbledon 2050. InPlayRadio.co.uk. Your eyes on a world of betting. It's time to look at the semi-finals at Wimbledon 2015 in the company of Nick Lester, who's been commentating on pretty much all of it for Radio Wimbledon this year and previewing the matches for us as well. Nick, you probably barely had time to breathe the last 10 days or so, but it's been a fantastic tournament and it's building up nicely now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. Obviously, from the men's perspective, I think we were only one. Obviously, we were only Wawrinka out of having the top four in the semi-finals for the first time in about 15 years. So the big guys have all come to the party towards the end of the event. And I think the women's side of things is fascinating as well. Obviously, we'll talk about it in a moment, but Serena's got a fairly strong hold over Sharapova. But I think the opening semi-finals got a good bit to it with Radvanska, who's been well out of form, taking on Muguruza, who has clearly started to enjoy playing on grass courts and begins to sort of believe she can play on grass courts. So, yeah, great semi-final lineup, really.
Yeah, let's look at that first one then, shall we? Gabi Muguruza, the Spaniard, up against Agnieszka Radwanska, the Pole, 13th seed against the 20th seed. A lot of people have been talking about Radwanska kind of coming back to form. She's even money to win here. Muguruza is the favourite here at 4-5, though. We've got all the set betting, of course, as usual, and we'll go through that very soon. The head-to-heads, it's 2-2, all on hard court. The last two have been won by the Spaniard, the previous two won by the Pole. So it's pretty even, this, isn't it? And the betting's very even as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say, I was a little surprised when I looked at the odds, actually, Lee, because I just think Radwanska is going to shade this one. And I think that the value probably is in her today. I mean, I can only assume that the odds, probably looking at it, have either gone on two things. One, they've gone on the fact that Radwanska's record against the big hitters isn't particularly good. And they've also gone on the last two meetings. Now, for my money, Radwanska is in a much better place than she was when these two met earlier in the year. She's had a terrible kind of post-Australian Open slump, Radwanska. She really has. It's been the toughest 6 months of her career. But I think if you look in the last month, she was able to get on the grass early. She played Nottingham. She played very well in Eastbourne. And she's got a fantastic record here at Wimbledon. So I personally think the odds from the perspective of betting, I think they may have just got this one the wrong way around. I think it's tight, don't get me wrong. I don't think there's a lot in it. But I think at even money, I think Radwanska represents a bit of value. I really do. I think experience-wise, I think she's got a lot more time on the grass over the years. I think she knows how to play on this surface. She certainly enjoys playing on this surface. And I think it also a major semi-final. You have to look at the major semi-finals. This is the third time out of the last 4 years that she's been in this position in the semi-final. This is Muguruza's first time playing in a major semi-final. And not just that, this is only her 11th major championship. Now, I appreciate there have been players who have been able to burst through very early. But I just think Radwanska overall ticks a few more boxes in this one.
Yeah, interesting. If anyone wanted more value, would you be looking at, in terms of sets, would you be looking at straights or in three? Or?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think you've got to look at the matchup here. It's obviously going to be the big hitting of Muguruza. Is she going to be able to push Radwanska around the court and bully her, if you like, on enough occasions to hurt the Pole? Now, it was a very similar matchup for Radwanska against Madison Keys. Same situation, same player, big hitter, big serve. A tall girl who's able to lean on the ball, take it early. And Radwanska was able to keep her unforced errors down. If you go through her unforced errors count in the last four or five matches, she has been so tight in that regard. I think it's about six unforced errors she's making on average for the past three rounds. So she's not giving anything away. So therefore, a player's having to earn it. So I think if Muguruza is to win this match, she's going to have to hit winners. She's not going to be given to her. And I just think on a very big stage like a semi-final today, I think Radwanska has been there and done it before. And I think she's back to her good form. She's got her mojo back, I feel. And I think from a betting perspective, I'd be looking at her. Two or three is tough to say. I probably would lean maybe with two close sets today. I think Radwanska is certainly on the up. And I think she might just have a bit too much game for Muguruza in a high-pressure environment.
Yeah, even money, you probably don't need to be any more greedy. Serena Williams versus Maria Sharapova, semi-final of Wimbledon. Fantastic matchup. And, you know, in football, when you get a good team who are a big price, you're kind of almost duty-bound to back them because anything can happen. Not quite the same in tennis, Nick, but Maria Sharapova is 4-1 here. Serena Williams 1-6. Anyone who likes tennis will know that Serena Williams has got the sign over Maria Maria Sharapova. 17-2 the head-to-head reads, and 16 on the spin for Serena Williams. Two matches on grass in that 16-match sequence. Once at the Olympics in 2012 when she beat a 6-love, 6-1. And at Wimbledon back in 2010 when she beat a 7-6, 6-4. That was a closer one, Nick. Can Maria Sharapova end the hoodoo?
Do you know, I'd love to be able to sit here and give you a long spiel about how she could, but I'm not sure I can. As much as I would like to try, and as much as 4-1 is a very attractive price for what has been a very consistent player this season, or certainly this grass court season, I think you have to look a little bit in depth, more in depth, Lee, as well, and say, who's Sharapova beaten so far at these championships? She's beaten the highest ranked player. She's beaten his 30th player in the world. I think that was Begu. So I think you've got to a little bit go into this and say, well, has she had a real test yet, Sharapova, in this tournament? Has she played someone who can really hurt her? Obviously, Coco Vandeweghe was a good performance, so to win that in three. And that's before you even get to the head-to-head, as you talk about. And last time she beat her was 2004, as you mentioned. People talk about, is she in her head? I've heard a lot of that in the last couple of days. Is Sharapova not able to beat Serena because she's in her head? It's nothing to do with that. I can assure you, it's nothing to do with that. It's simply a case of Serena does everything better. And that starts with the serve. And predominantly that starts with the second serve, because Sharapova is vulnerable of her second serve. During this tournament alone, she's only won 41% of points behind her second serve. Now, if she does that today, and one would imagine, to be honest, if she got to 40%, she'd be doing well against the best and most aggressive returner in the game, then she's going to have half a chance. But I really can't see it. I think, you know, Serena's record at semifinals at majors, I think I read this morning, it was 24 wins and 3 defeats in the semifinals of majors. And now, this is a woman who, when she gets going at a tournament, as we all know, is almost unstoppable. So for me, I think it's Serena. They did play a very close match here, it should be said, a couple of years ago. I think it was 6-4, 7-6, one of the best matches I remember from the women's side a couple of years ago. I can see it being close, but I can't see Sharapova taking a set. I really can't. I don't think she's played well enough so far this tournament against players who have been a little under par. Serena's had her test already and on numerous occasions and is getting better and better. And confidence is probably at an all-time high. And she knows that she has the game all round in all departments to take care of Sharapova. So I think there's probably not much value here, but I think you're looking at Serena 2-love. I think from a games perspective, I'd probably looking at something like a 6-4, 6-3. I think that's probably what the scoreline I'd expect.
Yeah, you've just answered a question. I was going to ask you very quickly, but I won't bother now. Maria Sharapova plus 4.5 games is even money, but you'd need 6-4, 6-4, or you know a 7-5, 6-4 basically to land that. But no, it's fair enough. Serena in two there at 1-2. Two great semi-finals to look forward to in the men's side of things at Wimbledon this year. We'll start off with Novak Djokovic versus Richard Gasquet. Gasquet has been one of my favourite players to watch this tournament. That backhand is a joy to behold, and fair play to him as well, because he's had it tough and he came through a fantastic matchup against Stan Wawrinka, winning 11-9, of course, in the fifth when it looked like it was all done and dusted at certain points during that match. He plays a man now, though, Nick, who he's got a terrible record against, as most people have. 12 wins for Djokovic, 1 for Gasquet. That was way back in 2007 on hard court. Not only has Djokovic got a great record against him, he barely ever drops a set to him. I think he's dropped 3 sets in the wins against Gasquet. It seems a bit unfair, but Gasquet seems to be one of those players who he'll be pleasing on the eye, he'll get to the business end of a tournament, and then he'll just go out to one of the better players, and his odds reflect that. 7-1, Djokovic is 14-1 on.
Yeah, I mean, I commentated actually their match at the French Open, I think, with their last meeting 5 weeks ago, and it was so one-sided, it really was. Djokovic completely dominated him. He used a drop shot to very good effect. As we know, Gasquet is a player who likes to hang somewhere behind the baseline, and Djokovic was initially in rallies able to pin him back, something that Gasquet tends to do, and then throwing the drop shot. So it's a good matchup for Djokovic, I think, this one in all regards. I don't think he's going to be rushed, particularly from the back of the court, compared to obviously someone like an Anderson, who was able to hurt him, able to hit the ball to a good length, rush him, take on the rise. Gasquet is not a guy that is that comfortable taking the ball on the rise always. I would certainly agree that he's playing well, probably playing the best tennis I've seen from him in probably almost a good 18 months. He's fit, and he's been tough to beat, which has been very good to see, Lee, because Gasquet over the years has not always been tough to beat. And that's one of the things that the French players, as good as they are, they haven't always shown a whole lot of heart. And it was great to see Gasquet yesterday showing some desire and passion and being really kind of tough to get by. And I think that was probably the most pleasing part of things. But going back to the matchup, I think it's a good one for Djokovic all in. As I say, Gasquet does have a good serve, but he's not going to take the racket out of Djokovic's hands. I expect him to pin him in that backhand side, you know, with good length. He'll look to dominate rallies, and he'll be able to dominate rallies, Djokovic as well. So it's tough to make a case for Gasquet here. I think there's plenty of positive to take from the Frenchman for this run overall. But I think Djokovic has had a couple of tight matches already, and I think he's certainly, I think he'll be delighted not to have seen Wawrinka get through that one. Absolutely delighted, I really do. He knows that Gasquet doesn't have that many weapons. Yes, the back end is fantastic, and yes, he can use it to good effect and draw him off the court. But, you know, you need to do more than that against Djokovic. You've got to be able to make inroads in Djokovic's game early in the rally. You've got to be able to get under his skin. You've got to hit through him. And Gasquet doesn't really do that. He can go round you. He can use the spin. But, you know, you're asking a lot over five sets on this surface. And for me, I think Djokovic is a comfortable winner. I'd be surprised if it was anything else.
Yeah, 3-love Djokovic, 8-15. I imagine anyone who's backed him, when they saw the result of Gasquet Wawrinka, they must have been the same as you, really, thinking, thank God for that. I mean, he's 8-11 to win the tournament now. He, you know, nothing's a certainty in tennis or sport, but it's pretty much a shoo-in for the final. And the match that we're going to preview now may go long, so it could be perfect for Djokovic. That match is Andy Murray versus Roger Federer, of course. Andy Murray, 8-11 favourite to win this one. Roger Federer, 11-10. It's been some nice build-up to this one, with Federer talking in quite nice terms about their 2012 matchups at Wimbledon and, of course, the Olympics, even saying that he's pretty happy that Murray won the gold medal in the end, which was nice of him. And the record's amazing, Nick, isn't it? 11 wins for Murray, 12 for Federer. When you look back through their history together, I mean, it's kind of surprising that Murray had the kind of sign over him. I kind of forgot this, that in those early years, like 2006 to 2009, Murray more or less won every time they played. Then Federer's kind of chipped back at him. I was having a chat with Dave Kellner, who normally does these podcasts, and before the tournament, and I said, when we got the draw, I said, I'd really like Murray to get to the final. I said, Federer in the semis, he'll beat Federer. Then we look back at last year, and it's like Roger Federer has won the last three meetings between the two of them. Admittedly, he was a bit off colour in the ATP World Tour Finals, Murray. But how much has Murray changed since then, and how good is Federer at the moment, do you think?
I would say Murray's game has gone up 10% since those previous meetings. I mean, I hear you. I hear what you say about the World Tour Finals. I remember speaking to you guys after that match, and I think I said that Murray hadn't improved in 2014. I remember saying it. And I think in many ways that was justifiable. Now, whether that was the back still recovering from the back, probably was to an extent, and there were elements of that match where, you know, you look back at the stats of that match, Murray didn't win a single point against Federer's first serve in that match. You go back to the match in Cincinnati, I was out there as well last summer, and Federer beat him 6-3, 7-5, and again, similar sort of matchup. Murray had chances in that one, was much more into the match, but Federer just tighter all round. And then you go back to the Aussie Open last year where Federer beat him in four sets. So to answer your question directly, I think Murray's in a much better place now. I really do. I think his game's matured. I think his body's back to 100%. I think there's elements of his game that have come on. I think the second serve, as I said to you before, has been a vast improvement. And I think this year, more than anything else, we have seen Murray attack the second serve of players a lot more. It's been something people have been asking him to do for many, many years. But for now, this year, it seems to have really ticked that he can attack the second serve of Federer, of players. Now, obviously, against Federer, it's a tougher ask. I was just looking through the stats of the tournament so far. Federer's winning, I think, 66% of his second serve points won during these championships so far. Murray, on the other hand, is winning just 54% of his second serve points won. So as much as we talk about Murray's second serve coming on, Federer is still defending that serve a little better. But then I think you have to look at who Federer's played. He's played Querrey and Groth, guys who don't return particularly well in the early rounds. Gilles Simon yesterday, who didn't really give him any kind of trouble. And then the previous round, he played Bautista Agut. So it's a little tough from Federer's perspective, I think, to get a real feel for where his game is at. Because for my money, he really hasn't had a challenge yet. I don't think he's really had a real stern test. Nothing, certainly, in the league of Murray has had so far. You know, with Karlovic, Pospisil played well, I thought, the day before. Seppi could match him at times from the back of the court, and it was fairly one-sided in the fourth. So, you know, You can toss this matchup up in so many ways. It comes down to how offensive Federer is going to be. And again, looking at how often he's served and volleyed in this tournament so far, Federer's been at the net on average about 30 times each match throughout the tournament so far. I would expect it to be the same against Murray. I would expect him to come in a similar number, if not more. The question is, how effective can he be when he can't come forwards, when both players are at the back of the court? Because right now, I still think Murray's hitting a bigger and firmer ball from the back of the court. Certainly off the backhand side, he's stronger. Forehand side, you've got to still favour Federer. But the question is, if Murray keeps the ball to a decent length, how is Federer going to get on the front foot when they're both in a baseline rally? Because for me, I'm still backing Murray in those 50-50 situations from the back of the court. So Murray's going to have to defend his serve well initially. If he can do that and create chances on the Federer serve, which I expect him to, I really do, I expect him to make it awkward for Federer. I think this has got the makings of 4 or 5 sets. I've lent with Murray. I went with Murray at the start of the tournament, Lee, and I'm not going away from that because I think he's back to where he was a couple of years ago, if not better. His game is in great shape. His mind is probably as strong as it's ever been. And again, as I said to you guys a few times this week, it looks as though to me he has this X factor back again, this kind of real determination, channeled determination, really channeled determination in his mind that he had a couple of years ago. And I think he'll be well up for this. I think it's got the makings of 5. I really do. I think from a betting perspective, it's a tough one to call. Make no mistake about it. But I think you've still got to lean with Murray. He's the younger man. I think he's at home. And I think you've got to factor in the crowd as well. And obviously, there's going to be a lot of support, Lee, for Federer. But I think Murray factoring in the crowd, if he can get off to a good start here, 4 or 5 sets, I'd be looking at Murray to face Djokovic in the final.
Yeah, the interesting thing, we always talk about Murray's mental side of things. The interesting thing, Nick, is when you hear him talk and when you see his demeanour at the moment, he's grown into it, hasn't he? No longer are we kind of nervous anymore as a viewing public about having a British player in the last 8 or the last 4. It's just what happens now, and he's grown into that. I don't think he feels the pressure as much now, having won the thing.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think that's maturity, isn't it? And I think there's a number of things people have said to me numerous times, you know, in the last 10 weeks. Is he a better player since he got married? Is he calmer since he got married? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? If you're happier in your private life, you're certainly going to be happier in your professional life. And, you know, it's easy to look at the two and kind of think, oh, well, that's an easy assumption. But I think there probably is something to that as well, you know, a bit more calmness in terms of, you know, the way he feels. But ultimately, he's got to be playing well, and he is playing well. And it comes off the best clay court season he's ever had. You know, winning in Munich, winning in Madrid, beating Nadal on clay in Madrid. That was a massive confidence boost for Murray. And then to come into Queens, won a couple of early matches there, got on a roll, won the tournament. And he's just looked to have that extra bit between his teeth here. And I hear everything about Federer. I hear everything about the way he's played so far. And he's done nothing wrong. And if he executes, and if he comes in relentlessly and asks Murray questions to pass him time and time and time again, then Federer's got to have a shout out here. But I just think it's going to be Murray's day. I really do. I think he's hitting the ball off the ground as well as he ever has done. And I think at the risk of repeating myself, I just think he's in a really good place right now. And I think from a betting perspective, I'd probably be looking at Murray in 4.
Yeah, that's 7-2. Andy Murray to win 3-1 is 7-2. Andy Murray 3-2 is 5-1. 3-love is 3-1. Roger Federer 3-love is 9-2. It's also 9-2 for Federer to win 3-1, and Roger Federer in 5 is 11-2. If you just want a pretty safe bet, then Andy Murray to win and both players to win a set is 5-4. The flip of that is Federer to win and both players to win a set 7-4. And if you want to take out the winner completely, both players to win a set, at least in the match, is 8-15. So that 8-15 and Djokovic to win in straights at 8-15, I think it's probably a nice little double. Nick, thanks very much for your time. We'll speak to you ahead of the finals of the women's and the men's as well, but enjoy the next couple of days at Wimbledon.
Pleasure, Lee.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.